This is number 3. We find that in both small and large organizations, individuals are promoted every year into first-line management positions. The profiles of these new managers are strikingly similar. Person is a good technician, engineer, salesperson, accountant, leader, probably one of the best in the company. He or she has always wanted to be a manager and is excited and pleased about being promoted to this new managerial position. Company provides the new manager with management training. When the neophyte manager assumes the position, it is with the confidence that he or she will truly be a good manager. Unfortunately, for many new managers, the story does not have a happy ending. Being a manager involves more than just learning the basic functions of a manager. Indeed, the job of a manager does require the manager to be able to plan, organize, staff, direct, and control. But it also requires the manager to think like a manager, not like the doer technician. He or she must think like a manager. As people are promoted into managerial roles, they may begin to experience a variety of symptoms indicating a failure to think like a manager. Some of these symptoms, I believe, would include the following. Number 1, emphasizing performance rather than supervisory activities. A common tendency is to do the job rather than supervise the job. And then a second symptom that would indicate a failure to think like a manager would be the inability or unwillingness to make decisions. Managers who feel uncomfortable with the ambiguity of their role, or who fear doing something wrong, or who fear they won't be liked if they make unpopular decisions, often become indecisive. And then a third symptom indicating a failure to think like a manager would be competing with employees. This symptom is a feeling by the manager that he or she is competing with subordinates for the position of technical guru. In fact, the manager may believe that success as a supervisor is linked to the ability to remain the technical expert in the work group. And then a fourth symptom indicating a failure to think like a manager is the tendency to hire weak people. This symptom, this tendency to hire people who are technically or interpersonally less skilled than the manager. The manager is assured of remaining the most competent technician by hiring less skilled employees or hiring people with weaknesses that can be exploited. And then the fifth symptom, the desire to be recognized as a powerful person. It's very important to this manager that the employees consciously acknowledge and respect his or her managerial position and power. Employees who do are rewarded, and those who do not suffer the consequences. The sixth symptom is the inability or unwillingness to assign tasks. Ineffective assignment of tasks is a symptom of not thinking like a manager. Individuals who suffer from this symptom waste a great deal of time that they should be devoting to administrative activities. Instead, they are performing tasks that their employees should be handling. Seventh symptom, the inability or unwillingness to delegate decision making. To be sure that the right decisions are made, these managers believe that they must retain ultimate control over all decisions. The eighth symptom, the need to be evaluated on one's own performance. The manager who suffers from this symptom believes that personal performance is what counts, while evaluation based on the performance of others is both risky and unrewarding. The ninth symptom, the tendency to avoid rather than deal with conflict. Managers with this symptom are so concerned with being liked by their employees that they ignore potential threats to the tranquility of the work group. And then the tenth system is providing insufficient praise. This symptom is usually an indication that the manager is not sensitive to the need for praise or is not capable of giving it. When you find that one of your supervisors or one of your managers is displaying this kind or these kinds of symptoms, then you, of course, as the leader in the organization, need to respond and to reach out to that individual and to help that particular individual think like a manager. Perhaps by way of review, just for a few moments, we've already noted that the world is full of organizations, that all organizations operate to achieve clearly stated, commonly held objectives. To achieve these objectives, it is necessary for members of the organization to work together. To ensure the success of the organization, a manager is needed. Managers supply management, that is, the process of setting and achieving goals through the execution of basic management functions that utilize human, financial, and material resources. The management group in an organization consists of three basic categories: top management, middle management, and first line management. Regardless of the management title, position, or level, all managers execute the various managerial functions. This concept is known as the universality of management. The five management functions, that is, the broad activities that managers perform to achieve organizational goals, are planning, organizing, staffing, directing, and controlling. Planning is the management function that establishes organizational goals or objectives and creates the means for accomplishing them. Organizing is the management function concerned with assembling resources necessary to achieve the organization's objectives and establishing activity-authority relationships of the organization. Staffing attempts to attract good people to an organization and to hold on to them. Directing builds a climate, provides leadership, and arranges the opportunity for motivation. Controlling is concerned with establishing standards, measuring actual performance to see if the standards have been met, and taking corrective action if required. To accomplish management functions, managers must assume a variety of roles. A role is any one of several behaviors a manager displays as he or she functions within the organization. Potential roles require a manager include such things as figurehead, leader, liaison, monitor, disseminator, spokesperson or representative, entrepreneur, disturbance handler, resource allocator, and negotiator. Competent managers must draw on certain managerial skills to assemble and manage human and other resources for the achievement of organizational goals. The three required skills are technical, human, and conceptual. A manager must possess these skills, and the relative importance of each of the skills depends on the manager's level in the organization. Human skill is equally important at all three levels. Technical skill is most important at the first line level and becomes less important as the manager moves up in the organization. Conceptual skill becomes increasingly important as the manager moves up in the various levels of managerial responsibility. We've noted that management is the process of achieving organizational goals by engaging in major functions. These functions would be planning, organizing, leading, and controlling. While these functions form the basis of the managerial process, several other elements contribute to an understanding of how managers actually operate. For instance, work methods and managerial roles, as well as work agendas, feed into the management functions aimed at performance. A manager's knowledge, his knowledge base, and his managerial skills are also important factors in reaching targeted performance. Mintzberg's famous study of top managers found that their work methods were characterized by an unrelented pace, brevity, variety, fragmentation, and heavy use of verbal contacts and networks. In order to make sense of the voluminous data that he collected while observing the managers, Mintzberg isolated three major categories of these roles. These were interpersonal, informational, and decisional. Within these categories, he identified 10 specific roles: figurehead, leader, liaison, monitor, disseminator, spokesperson, entrepreneur, disturbance handler, resource allocator, and negotiator. To a large extent, these work methods and roles are also characteristic of managers at other levels of organizations. On the basis of his research on general managers, Cotter found that managers channel their various efforts through the use of work agendas, which are loosely connected sets of tentative goals and tasks that a manager is attempting to accomplish. Work agendas usually develop from the demands, constraints, and choices associated with a manager's job. As a result, they tend to reflect, at least to some extent, the personal preferences and career objectives of managers. For managers to develop work agendas, to act out roles, and engage in planning, organizing, leading, and controlling, they also need a knowledge base and key managerial skills. The key skills fit into three different categories. These are technical, human, and conceptual. These skills, as well as other elements in the managerial process, impact managerial performance. Performance is made up of two important dimensions: effectiveness and efficiency. Effectiveness is the ability to choose appropriate goals and achieve them, while efficiency is the ability to make the best use of available resources in the process of achieving goals. Managerial jobs differ according to hierarchical level and responsibility areas. They are generally divided into three hierarchical levels: first line, middle, and top. Managers at these levels vary in the emphasis that they place on planning, organizing, leading, and controlling. They also differ in the importance that they place on the key management skills and in the degree to which they use the different types of managerial roles. Although managers at all levels rate the entrepreneurial role as highly important, the way that they use this role to encourage innovation depends on their hierarchical level, as follows. The idea champion is usually the first-line manager. The sponsor is usually the middle manager, and the orchestrator is the top manager. In contrast, horizontal managerial job differences focus on responsibility areas and involve three major types of managers: functional managers, general managers, and project managers. The consensus is that it takes a combination of education and experience to be an effective manager. The education arena. CEOs, for the most part, are college graduates. They tend to have a graduate degree, and they're likely to have participated in formal training and educational programs sponsored or supported by their organization. On the experience side, they usually had some type of job in high school or college, they held at least one office in a campus organization, and they worked for two or fewer companies prior to joining the one that they had. In addition, they tend to put in long hours. According to several recent informal surveys, managerial work in the future is particularly likely to be affected by a growing internationalization of business, the increasing importance of quality, the expanding public concern with managerial ethics, and the growing diversity of the workforce. What we've tried to do in these first introductory comments is really to focus on the basic concept of managers and organizations. An effective manager, as we have seen, is an active leader who creates a positive work environment in which the organization and its employees have the opportunity and the incentive to achieve high performance. Managers should be leaders. Leaders who take the initiative and become active participants in the activities of their employees and the operations of the organization. Successful managers create a situation that encourages high performance and removes causes for failure. Such managers ensure that employees understand their jobs and have the resources necessary to complete these tasks. Finally, effective managers tend to create interesting jobs and motivate employees with appropriate incentives. An organization is a managed system designed and operated to achieve a specific set of objectives. This system processes human, financial, physical, and informational resources into outputs. These outputs are the products and services demanded by the external environment. Meeting these demands allows an organization to achieve its ultimate goals. Managers, of course, working within these organizations perform several major functions. Some of these we've mentioned, such as planning, organizing, staffing, leading, and controlling. Planning is analyzing a situation, determining the goals that will be pursued in the future, and deciding in advance the actions needed to achieve these goals. Organizing and staffing include efforts to assemble the resources needed to complete the job and to group and coordinate employees and tasks for maximum success. Leading focuses on efforts to stimulate high performance among employees. Controlling involves monitoring the progress of the organization or the work unit toward goals and then taking corrective action if necessary. To execute management functions successfully, managers need technical skills, interpersonal and communication skills, and conceptual and decision skills. A technical skill is the ability to perform a specialized task involving a certain method or process. Interpersonal and communication skills involve the manager's ability to interact and work well with people. Conceptual and decision skills involve the manager's ability to recognize complex and dynamic issues, examine the factors that influence these problems, and make decisions regarding them. How these functions and skills are applied depends on the manager's level in the organization. Strategic managers are the senior executives and are responsible for the organization's overall management. Tactical managers translate the general goals and plans developed by strategic managers into more specific objectives and activities. Operational managers are low-level managers who supervise the operations of the organization. As we continue in our discussion of management science, we want to examine each management function and hopefully give you a solid foundation for your own management career. The ideas that we will discuss and present really should supplement your common sense and your experience no matter where you pursue your individual career. One of the things that is certainly important as we think about managerial success and moving into the future is perhaps the idea of managing for excellence. The question perhaps would be this: is there a right way to manage? Well, if you ask 1,000 managers that question, the answer would probably be yes and no. No, there's not a correct style, a correct package of methods to apply, nor a correct way to implement a system. But yes, there are some key factors that management needs to focus on to be successful. And looking down the long, uncertain path of the future, CEOs from Fortune's most admired, best-run companies, CEOs who have been identified as fast-rising stars of the future, and members of the National Business Hall of Fame, have created a managerial model with key result areas. The manager of the future should focus on these areas. Number one, the manager must have vision. The challenges of the new century will require managers to be very different from the narrowly focused specialists of previous decades. Managers will have to have the ability to focus on where the organization, department, or work unit needs to go to be the most vibrant, responsive, or versatile. The manager must have vision. Secondly, the manager must be a global manager. As the boundaries of competition expand, the world itself will continue to shrink. The need to be a global manager will become a reality, not a myth. But being a global manager does not mean assuming the role of a global champion, capable of jumping from Japanese to French to Swahili in a split second. Rather, a global manager is one who has the ability to absorb the novel and the unexpected. He has the ability to manage in new situations, to manage in ambiguous situations, and to manage in complex situations. So the manager of the future should have a vision. The manager of the future should be a global manager. The manager of the future, number three, should negotiate to solve problems. Modern managers will not be found in the traditional hierarchical structure. As organizations flatten out while removing management layers and solving problems through team management, managers will be working with people over whom they have no apparent authority. Once authority is removed from a situation, the modern manager will have to rely on balancing the organization's needs with those of team members or outsiders that he perhaps is dealing with. He will have to think empathetically, that is, thinking from the other person's point of view. He will have to be straightforward in handling disagreements. And at times, he will have to think cross-culturally. Managers should not assume that their way or the American way is the only way to do it. So the manager of the future should have vision. The manager of the future should be a global manager. The manager of the future should negotiate to solve problems. The manager of the future should attract and build talent. Managers are as successful as the talent they surround themselves with. Identify potential stars and provide them with challenging work. Do it now. And continue to be a key ingredient in the management model. Developing people as fast as possible is the way to have a vibrant and exciting organization. Someone once said, "Do not use your people to build a great work, but use your work to build a great people." So the manager of the future should have a vision. The manager of the future should be a global manager. The manager of the future should negotiate to solve problems. The manager of the future should attract and build talent. And then number five, the manager of the future should go beyond participative management. Managers of the new century will need to tap the creative power of every employee. Doing this will require going beyond merely sharing a little information and a bit of decision-making authority. Rather, managers will have to trust employees, listen to them, and encourage experimentation. It is recognized that the winning firms or the winning units or the winning departments will become brain-driven. So the manager of the future must have a vision. He must be a global manager. He must negotiate to solve problems. He must attract and build talent. He must go beyond participative management. Number six, the manager of the future must tap the power of teams. The flatter organization structures of the future will require managers to pursue one of two courses of action. Manage with an increasingly wider span of control as the layers of managers are removed while the problems remain, or create project teams and appropriate authority to tackle the problems. And then one other thing has been mentioned by these chief CEOs, each one members of the National Business Hall of Fame. They've said that the manager of the future must have vision. He must be a global manager. He must negotiate to solve problems. He must attract and build talent. He must go beyond participative management. He must tap the power of teams. And number seven, the manager of the future must be obsessed with quality. The measure of a company is the quality of its product or service. The same can be said of a department, a district, or a work unit. The manager should incorporate the philosophy of continual improvement. This belief is that every worker should try to improve day by day and never get discouraged. So the manager of the future must have a vision. He must be a global manager. He must negotiate to solve problems. He must attract and build talent. He must go beyond participative management. He must tap the power of teams, and he must be obsessed with quality. In summary, the manager model for the future requires managers to be more visionary, focusing not only on the mission of the organization, but on doing so with anticipation and flexibility. More demands will be made on the manager for people skills, attracting and developing people, empowering the talent to create and to work with teams. Managers will have to rely on persuasion rather than authority. But the business of the business will remain a continual effort to improve quality.